They seem to be able to, this little illustration of the glass would seem to be something that people kind of could connect with. We had a question that we started with, and I just want to put that up here. So as I do this talk, then just think, as we've sometimes said before, where are you? If you remember, that's the question that God said to Adam when he had sinned and he was lost. And God knew where he was, but he didn't know where he was. And so God, it was important that he said where he was. And if you're going somewhere and you've got your sat-nav out, the important thing is to get somewhere, to get directions, you need to know two things. You need to know where you are and where you are going. So I pray in this little talk this morning that you will have a better idea of where you want to be and also a better idea of where you are. So as I do this talk, have a little think, where am I in this talk? Okay? John the Baptist said some wonderful things, and we went through all the sayings. The kebab talk, by the way, which I thought was the best, Chris's talk, was where he took the last verse, I must decrease and he must increase. Just before that, this was the third thing that John the Baptist said. I baptize with water those who turn from their sins and turn to God, but someone is coming soon who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So what we're talking about this morning is me and you and the Holy Spirit and our experience of the Holy Spirit. Last weekend we went on a journey, and hopefully we were in a better place at the end than we were at the beginning. But already this week we've had an experience. We've come back home. We've had lots of temptations. Some of you will have gone back and had some difficulties, some tricky things to deal with. And things have changed. And so we're back again. But the message is the same. God wants to give us his Holy Spirit, more of his Holy Spirit. And what we did was that we looked at this glass. This glass has got one purpose in life and only one purpose. It is to be filled so that we can drink. That's what it's for. It's to be filled. And God has made every human being, every person in here, small or large, young or old, he has made us to be filled. He's made us to be filled with himself. I don't know whether there's a quote that you could find there from St. Augustine. Maybe you guys doing the projector could find. This is what St. Augustine of Hippo. I don't know why he's St. Augustine of Hippo. Maybe he worked in a zoo. But you have made us for yourself, he said. Oh, Lord, and our heart is restless. Our heart is restless until it rests in you, because we are made to be filled ultimately with God. But we fill ourselves with other things, don't we? We're made to be filled, and people will be filled with all sorts of things. I've got a guy who works with me in my shop, and he is a Chelsea fan. And his birthday was on the day that Chelsea played Munich and beat them. And to top it all, he was there. And when he came back, I said to him, did you enjoy your day, your birthday? And he said, I'll be honest, Nick, he said, it was the greatest day in my life. Because he is filled with Chelsea. And we get filled with other things, don't we? But we are made to be filled with something because we are made for God. We are made to be filled with him. So here we are. This is you, and this is you being filled with something. Now, last time I did this, I baptized all Joe's acetates, and some of them were unusable afterwards. And this little vessel here is you. I didn't have this on the weekend, did I? This is a black natural food coloring, and this is what happens to us. Because, yep, sin, you're right. Lots of stuff fills our lives, and a lot of it is very bad for us. And this is the person before they become a Christian. The Bible says very clearly, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not one person on this earth ever reached God's standards, except one. Who is that? Jesus. But all the rest of us, we have all sinned. So we start life in this condition. But as we sang earlier, that crimson stained Jesus, he took it all, didn't he? He took all our sin away. Now, somewhere here, I've got a bucket because I like to be neat and tidy and I don't want to create a mess. So what happens is that Jesus takes all our sins. There was a guy called Nicodemus. Do you remember Nicodemus? He was a Pharisee. He was a religious man. He was interested in God, but he wasn't a Christian. And he came and met Jesus by night, and Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Jesus went on and explained, you must be born of the Spirit. So this is our first experience of the Holy Spirit when we invite Jesus into our heart. We ask him to take away our sins. He forgives us all our sins. And he washes us. He cleans us. And we become a new creation so that we can be filled with him. And then we have different experiences. It goes on the Bible to say that he wants us to be filled with the Spirit. There's a commandment in the book of Ephesians. It says, be filled with the Spirit. It actually says, be being filled with the Spirit. Be filled once and be filled again and again and again. And this is our purpose, to be filled. And the people I know that are most filled with the Spirit are very happy people, because the Holy Spirit gives us joy and he gives us peace of mind. But you know, something starts to happen. I've got to be tidy here again. Something starts to happen to this vessel, this glass, which is filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of you would say that you know what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Somebody was actually saying at the end of the weekend, they felt they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's a fantastic thing. But bad things begin to happen to us. We start to sin, right? On the weekend, we discovered some sins, those kind of nasty things. Who can tell me what some of those sins are that maybe we don't, but maybe our friends do? Yeah? Jonathan? Violence, yes. Shall I write these up? I may as well. Violence. Okay. I heard that old chestnut biting, somebody said. That came up last year. It's real to some people. Okay, what about you, Jonathan? Sorry? Fighting, yes, there's obviously a lot of physical stuff going on here. I want an adult. Now, what about an adult sin? Let's all be quiet for a second, and we'll have hands up. Now, an adult sin is usually a hidden sin, because they don't want to be seen to be sinning. What about a hidden sin? Anybody? I'm having to stretch you, aren't you? Because you're such holy people. Michelle? Pride. Wow. No pride proud people here, are there? Pride. Another hidden one. Yes, Maureen? Sorry? Hatred. Yes. You see, these are more feelings and attitudes, aren't they? One more. Okay? Quarreling. Okay. Quarreling. These are big things, aren't they? Complaining. Anybody here ever complain? Is that a children's one? It's a terrible sin, isn't it? Ingratitude, not praying, prayerlessness. You know, there are so many things. I don't want to mention them all. But these things separate us from God. And so what we're going to do with the vessel here, this Spirit-filled vessel, what should we put in here? A bit of complaining, maybe? Yes, lovely. What about a bit of biting here, maybe? Bit of quarreling, stir it up. Not very nice, is it? Okay, do you want to put up the next verse here? Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And the next one, do not put out the Spirit's fire. So we started filled, but sin puts out the Spirit's fire. And the next verse, please. Let us also lay aside every weight. Now, this is not just for heavy people, okay, this verse. Every weight and the sin that clings. So there's more than sin. There's also weights as well as sin. Can we have the next verse, please? These are the other things. Jesus said, if I could have a little quiet at the front, I'd appreciate it. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Now, who can remember some of those other things? Now, these things, there's one thing that's similar about them all. They're all good. There's nothing wrong with them, but they become too big in our lives. Who can tell me something that's good until it becomes too big? Jonathan? Sorry? Eating. Interesting. Yeah, eating's great. We'd all be dead if we didn't eat. But we can get very greedy, can't we? We can get very selfish. We can always want the best cake and be first in the queue. I'll be watching. Anybody else? Money. Okay. Something else. Somebody said shopping on the camp. Nothing wrong with a bit of shopping, but shopping can become very big, can't it? One more thing. TV. Wow, TV. Lovely TV. TV is a medium. It's media. It's not bad in itself, but too much. If it's all we do, we just come home, all we want to do is watch the television. We never pray. We want to watch TV. It becomes too important. What about computer games? Anything wrong with computer games? Yes, some of them. But many of them, there's nothing wrong with them. They become rather large, don't they? So what happens? Shall we have a look? My lovely assistant, could you just come up? I want you to hold up this glass. Stand outside. No, you're not going to be baptized, Joe, I promise. Higher, please. No, don't worry, you're not going to break the glass. Okay, what should we put here? TV, that's quite a big one, isn't it? Oh, okay. What should we put? Shopping? Bit of shopping? Anything else we can think of? Computer games? Way. Anybody else? School? No, we don't need the bucket. It'll be fine, Joe. Okay, here we go. Very carefully now. You see, Joe's much cleaner than me. I think it's a man thing. Okay, some more of these good things. Who can tell me? We've done computer games, we've done TV, we've done eating, yeah? Something else that is good but becomes too big. Maureen? Worship. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? That worshipping can, we can worship if we're not careful. Let's pop that in. That it's too easy sometimes to just put on a song and not connect with God ourselves. Sally? Oh, not sport, surely. This used to be one of mine. Okay. And in the end, let's just put in one more. What has happened to that water? No, swearing's never good. Anybody else? Yeah? Sorry? Helping. Do you know, it's an interesting thing, but helping with the wrong attitude, that all we want to do is serve, and we get cross with everybody else who doesn't, that can be a big thing. So in the end, what has happened to our water? Not much left, is there? So that filled person has become unfilled. Now, just, I've got one more point to make, but I want to show you a little video clip before I do. So could you just turn the lights off, Pete? Turn the lights down. It's a very short 2-minute thing. The quality is very bad because this little clip was taken in quite a tricky situation. It was a boat that was sinking, and the lifeboat people, somebody had their mobile phone there. This happened earlier this year, and in the end, this boat sank. Now, one of the words, you know that verse we had up earlier, which said, I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. The word baptize in the Greek means to fill with water so much. To be baptized was to be so full that you sank. And boats that sank in the sea, they was described that they were baptized. And so to be baptized in the Holy Spirit is to be so full that there's nothing left of us. So let's have this video clip. Gone. That's baptism. And baptism in the Holy Spirit means that we have so much of that water in us that we're completely submerged. Now, going back to our glass here, do you remember, those of you that were on the camp, we took a large vessel here. So this is how God wants us to be. This is the ultimate, right? I'm going to start filling this. Okay, now you think that's filled with the Holy Spirit. It's quite filled, but it's not completely filled. So we'll pop it in there. And this is what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. When I did this on the weekend, I loved the sound of it, actually, but I don't know if this will glug like that one did. See, so full, it's overflowing. But there's more. It's so full, then it's more than overflowing. It's actually submerged in the water. And that's how Jesus wants us to be. I'm going to finish with just three things that we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. What have I done with my pen? It's probably been baptized as well. Yeah, thanks, Joe. Okay, three things. There was a man called Charles Finney, and he was quite a scary man. And he was in America, and during the course of his life, for many, many years, wherever he went, there was what has been called a revival. Hundreds and thousands of Christians, people became Christians through him. Wherever he went, it would seem, because he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. In other words, what he had wasn't just for him. It didn't just make him happy. It was overflowing powerfully into the lives of others. And he said there are three things that you need to do to really get the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit is free, so we can't earn him by doing lots of good things. But we can put ourselves in a position where we, like, attract the Holy Spirit to our lives, like a magnet attracting metal. The first thing he said is that we need to pray persistently. And that means don't give up. Persistent. I'm losing my spelling gift here. All right? Pray persistently. Don't give up praying. Interestingly, on the weekend, some people started empty and they finished full. But they went on. They didn't give up. They went on praying. The second thing he said was that we needed to deal with, that means sort out, deal with all, really bad L there, all known sin. So we don't leave things undealt with. If there's something God's spoken to us about in our life, we deal with it. We sort it out. How could God really fill a dirty cup? He won't do. And then the last thing, now this was the big word that we learnt at Carity Wood, and I'm going to see if any of you can remember what it means. We need to be consecrated. Not complicated. Consecrated. Jonathan, do you remember? Let's have a go.
It's when you dedicate yourself to somebody.
It's when you dedicate yourself to somebody. Rowan Williams at the Jubilee service, he explained what dedication was. I think I've got the quote up here. To be dedicated is to be absolutely removed from other uses. In other words, it's all for Jesus. Everybody who's really been used by God have given themselves up just to Jesus. I'm going to take this out of here now and make a nasty mess. There's a step before the filling, and that's emptying. Do you know Jesus said he emptied himself? So that means all the things that I want to do in life, all my ambitions, everything, I'm dedicating it. I'm giving it to Jesus. That's what consecrated means. And if we will pray, If we will deal with all known sin, and if we will be consecrated, we will attract the Holy Spirit to our lives. Let's pray, shall we? Do you want to stand up? Martin, amen. Would you like to come back? I'd love us to sing that Jesus paid it all. Because Jesus paid a tremendous price for our freedom, didn't he? Jesus put the whole of his life on the altar, didn't he? He gave it all. Jesus paid it all. And he wants us to do the same. Now, this message is the same whether you're a child, whether you're a teenager, whether you are an adult. Let's close our eyes, shall we? All of you? Children, adults, let's all close our eyes for a moment. We're going to have a little think. Close your eyes, because I want to pray. And what I want you to do, I don't want you to come to the front or anything, but if you feel you want to consecrate your life afresh to God this morning so that he can fill you with the Holy Spirit, I want you to put your hand in the air. You just feel this morning that you want to consecrate your life, dedicate your life afresh to God so that he can fill you with the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's pray. In a moment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask any of the adults who would like some of the children to pray for them for this to come to the front, and then the children can pray for them. But let's just pray for all of us. Keep your hands up. But this time you're actually putting your hand up to say, God, I'm receiving from you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. There is nobody else who can do this apart from you. So Lord, we pray you give us courage to keep on praying and asking. We pray you would help us to deal with sin in our lives. Take it seriously. And Father, we want to offer our lives to you afresh and pray that you would help us to offer all of our lives to you. And Lord, as we pray that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, if we could just start singing this song. I just want to get the words of this song up here. I hear the Savior say, your strength indeed is small. We don't have to try very hard. It's about Jesus helping us. Child of weakness. Lord, I can't do this. It's about the Holy Spirit doing it for us. Watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. And the next verse. Lord, now indeed I find your power and yours alone can change the leper's spots. You can't wash off leper's spots, but Jesus can change us. How fantastic. He can melt our hard hearts. And the next verse. Have you got the chorus we could just have there? Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Do you want to start singing, Martin? Let's all sing this now. And as we do, if you're...